I am alligator. I am a stuffed animal. I live with my boy and his family. And I don't know, what else can I tell you?
Well, maybe for our listeners that can't see what you look like, can you just describe your appearance for us as best you can?
Yeah, yeah. I'm green. You know, I'm a couple feet long. I am an alligator. At least that's what they call me. It's possible I am a crocodile. The distinctions are subtle, especially once you're, you know, plush. I mean, you can tell an alligator from a crocodile by their teeth.
Oh, is that?
My teeth are, yeah, I mean, like, if you ever watch Animal Planet, which I do a lot, you'd know that. But my teeth are made out of felt.
Well, why don't you tell me a little bit about the boy that, is it, I mean, should I say you belong to him? Or what's the right terminology?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think belonged is, you know, tangled up with him, I think is better. Like, my boy, I mean, when he started out, I was bigger than he was. When they first gave me to him, I was longer than him, and he's just gotten bigger and bigger. And I got to say, he's much longer now. He's a very long boy.
How did you end up together?
Don't know, honestly. My first memory is of just like a face. It was a woman's face, and it just kind of went by. I was moving by on something, and it was a big room, a lot of noise and things. And looking back on it now, knowing what I know now, it was probably a factory, right? But I've had a moment there where somebody must have looked at me and saw me as an alligator and not like a product. And that's when we wake up, is when somebody connects with us. And the next thing I know, I'm being like put in the cradle with my boy. And that was it. Like, when the boy looks at me, I'm always awake. I always wake up. Because he sees me, right? He sees alligator.
So you are, as you said, you're alligator. You're also an alligator. You're a, I guess, a representation of, you know, the real creature, an alligator. What do you know about them? What do you think about, you know, actual alligators?
Well, you know, I don't think they could do my job. And I also don't think I could do theirs. For one thing, I'd probably get eaten by an alligator.
Well, let's imagine what it would be like for you to be in a swamp with alligators. I'll fade up a little swamp sound here.
Well, whoa. All right, so there I am, I'm in a swamp, there's grass, it's humid out. I mean, I know humidity, I've been in a washing machine. Bugs, a lot of bugs, and alligators, they're all laying there. I'm probably bobbing there. I mean, what if one of these gators decided that he wanted to cuddle me, you know? They got little arms, you know, they could put those little arms around me. I've never met an alligator. They could be all right. But, you know, I know I'd be looking out for people because that's my thing. You know, I imagine like a boy, you know, like walking down the shoreline there, and he's got a stick, and he's poking in the weeds, and he's coming toward me, and I think, wow, maybe he'll see me, and he'll see me as, you know, alligator, and grab me out of there, and, you know, but Yeah, but what if he did that, you know, and he came close to me and one of these other alligators went for him, you know? I don't know. I don't think I want to talk about this anymore. I don't like that whole scene.
You know, thinking about you as an alligator, as a representation of an alligator, you strike me as very warm. And, you know, alligators are, have this reputation of being, you know, just cold and really terrifying.
Yeah, well, I mean, the difference is that alligators, real alligators, have to eat, right? So they got to put on a show. But, you know, their alligators' faces are more sensitive than the human fingertip. Now, think of that, like the human fingertip. Like, you can touch, you can feel the tiniest, smallest little thing with your fingertip and temperature. And if something's, like, vibrating, you know, a piano or something, you feel that. And an alligator's face is more sensitive than that. Like, when it's laying at the bottom of a swamp, it is feeling all of this stuff, little stuff swimming by, and it knows when something that is good to eat is in the area and coming by, and that's all feeling it's with its face.
That's so weird to think about.
I mean, imagine what it could do with its snout, as sensitive as a finger.
The gentle caress of an alligator's face.
Yeah, I'll bet it happens. I mean, I bet it could play the violin.
You know, that's a much better swamp scene to think about. Well, let's redo it, and we'll change the ending.
Oh, yeah. Maybe he'll see me, and he'll see me as, you know, alligator, and grab me out of there. And, But what if he did that, you know, and he came close to me and one of these other alligators, you know, pulled out a violin and started playing him a song. And all the other alligators that gathered round and the song was beautiful, and everything in the swamp just kind of quieted down to listen. And the boy took me, and we walked away. And then one of the alligators ate the violin.
So, alligator, you mentioned earlier watching television, I assume with the boy. Tell me what that's like.
Oh, well, I'm the neck pillow, which is great because he's got my tail sticking out one side of his head and my head sticking out the other. And you know, I got the best seat in the house. I see everything he sees. I hear everything he hears. And so I get it. I get the gist of the story.
What's your favorite television show?
Well, SpongeBob SquarePants. I just think in a way I probably relate to SpongeBob in a way because he's... you know, he's absorbent. I'm absorbent. I also really like Law and Order.
You know, I realize you are present all the time with the boy. So everything that happens to him happens to you. So, you know, to the extent that we're formed by our experiences, you and the boy end up being very much the same.
No, that's entanglement. That's what I was talking about. We are completely tangled up, and And not only have I experienced everything that he has, I mean, there was a, I thought for a while I had a blankie, because when he was really little, there was a blankie that was always with me. Sometimes I was wrapped in it. If we were traveling, we would be stuffed into the day pack together. And we were coming back from somewhere. We were on a plane, and his dad picked me up and stuffed me into the backpack. And my head was still sticking out, and I could see the blanket was stuffed kind of down between the seat and the, like, the inside of the plane.
Right.
You could just see it sticking out there, and I just thought, uh-oh, he doesn't see it. And the boy didn't see it. And suddenly, they pulled the zipper closed on me, and out we go. And that was the last I ever saw of Blanky. I thought, it can happen. I mean, it can happen, right?
Being left, you mean?
That, yes, exactly. Being left. And I just, that's the thing that I fear the most in this world, probably more than the dog, honestly.
What do you think the blanket is doing right now?
Oh, I know what it's doing. It's the only thing you could do is he's waiting. He's just waiting. That's all we got, you know, is we wait.
Hi, Brenda. Is this the Unclaimed Baggage Center or Unclaimed Baggage Store? I realize I don't know which one it is.
It's the Unclaimed Baggage Center.
Okay. If you have a minute, I was just curious what happens to the stuff that gets left on planes. Can you tell me how it works down there?
After the airlines have spent 90 days trying to reunite bags with their owners, we purchase from the airlines after those 90 days and then bring them back to our facility here in Scottsboro, where we literally unpack these bags every single day.
I think that would be the best job, to be able to open those bags.
It can be fascinating it, at times, of course. Most Americans are pretty normal people, you know, although you have your few that are a little extreme in one thing or another.
So what are, I guess, what are some of the stranger things you found in a bag?
Well, what's interesting is we have Hoggle from the movie Labyrinth. That was a Jim Henson production back in the 80s. We've had a number of taxidermy.
I'm sorry, but what I didn't. What from the what from Labyrinth?
Hoggle.
What?
Hoggle.
What's Hoggle?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
He was the main puppet character from the movie Labyrinth. You know, we have a 13-foot rocket. Of course, we get taxidermied items. We get wedding dresses and suits of armor.
That was in somebody's luggage?
That was in somebody's luggage.
I just brought up the Unclaimed Baggage Center's Instagram here, and you have some of the items that you have for sale. I'm looking at what appears to be, I don't know, is this a wildebeest skull?
Oh, what is that? It's a, it is an African animal. I don't think it was a wildebeest. I can find that one out for you. I just don't recall off the top of my head what it was.
But that was in someone's bag.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Are there things that you find in bags that are too personal to resell?
Oh, sure. I mean, there's everything from true personal belongings, you know, photos and things of that nature, to personal things that are inappropriate for us to sell. And of course, we destroy and throw away all those types of things.
Oh, I wasn't even thinking of that.
Well, I was answering both questions.
Alligator, do you know who Marie Kondo is?
I know that name. I don't know why.
So she's this home organization guru. She helps people declutter. And she said this thing that it's hard to give away a stuffed animal because we have such a connection with them. And her recommendation is that humans blindfold them when they're taken out of the home, if they're taken out of the home.
Blindfold the stuffed animals?
Yeah.
God, I mean, that's, number one, that's totally wrong and frankly stupid. The other thing is that just sounds, it sounds like you're, you know, it's like you're kidnapping them, you know, like, why don't you just throw a black hood over their head and throw them in the back of a white van and, you know, and dump them in a shallow ditch. Is that what she wants us to do?
I don't think it goes that far.
Well, I mean, it looks like that. I don't get it at all. I mean, it sounds like she has had somebody like me in her life to even think that. It must have ended badly. That's all I can say.
It's a funny thing because I, you know, a stuffed animal is this thing that when it's in a room, it can mean so much. It can mean everything to one person in the room and nothing to somebody else in the room. You know, like to some people, it's the toy, and to another person, it's this sort of beloved relationship.
Oh, yeah. That's us. But this is kind of a raw topic still. You know, my boy is, you know, he's getting bigger, and he's, you know, he's been at school now for like 7 years, I think, 8 years.
Okay.
And school changed everything. When he first went to school, everything changed. All of a sudden, he came home, he was like all anxiety, right? Like, this kid never had any anxiety. And all of a sudden, it's all anxiety, and I feel everything he feels. And it was like we were a wreck. But he gets these friends, and there are other people like him. I mean, they're boys and they're kids, but for some reason he won't keep me around when friends are over. Like, I get stuck in the drawer, right? Which is like I'm never in the drawer otherwise. You know, I thought at first, you know, he didn't want these boys seeing me and maybe trying to steal me, right? Or take me or be friends with me, and it would make him jealous. But it's more like he's, you know, I don't know. I think he's, honestly, I think he's kind of embarrassed of me.
It sounds like, I mean, sort of his whole life has been changing, right? Like, he started out and he was smaller than you, and now he's bigger. And he had sort of one way of being with you, and now it's different. And you are kind of, you know, you are pretty much unchanging.
Well, I mean, physically, yes. I mean, I kind of getting baggier as I age. I think, you know, people do that too. But, you know, I'm holding together. I think what has changed is, you know, he's not just getting bigger. He's getting different. I'm not getting bigger, but I am also, I mean, I'm getting different. You can't help but learn what the people around you teach you about yourself. Like, the people around you let you know who you are. And maybe it's different for people, and you can decide for yourself who you are, and you can not pay any attention to that. I don't know. But for me, I have no choice in it. I am what people think I am. So, yeah, I am changing. I am feeling different because I can see that my boy is thinking differently about me. It sounds crazy, but I think sometimes, like, what if I started growing, and I would, you know, get longer again? Like, maybe someday I'm longer than him again. And then he grows, and he's longer than me, and then I grow, and I get longer than him, and he grows, and we just keep growing, getting longer and longer and longer forever, and we're just like these enormous things, just like growing and growing until we just like fill up all the space.
This is Everything is Alive. The show is produced by Jennifer Mills and me, Ian Chillog, with Eva Walchover and Isabella Kulkarni. Special thanks to Emily Spivak. We are grateful to the reporting of Shannon Fisher, from whom we first learned about the sensitive snouts of alligators. Alligator, the alligator, possibly a crocodile, was played by Tom Baudet. Thanks to Brenda Cottrell for talking to us about unclaimed baggage. Also, thanks to Avi for his excellent suggestion last week. Music in this episode from Blue Dot Sessions. We also heard the song Angle of Light by David Hillowitz. And the violin piece we heard was the fifth movement of Bach's fifth partita for solo violin, performed by Ben Goldstein, not performed by an alligator. Everything is Alive is a proud member of Radiotopia from PRX, and without Julie Shapiro, executive producer, we would be mired in a swamp. You can find any number of ways of getting in touch with us at everythingsalive.com. I'm Ian Chillog. We'll see you soon.
Radiotopia from PRX.